8, verse 13. We're going to start at 13. We could start at 1, but I'm going to wait and start at 13. I'm going to jump ahead and start at 13. Everybody feeling good? Pray a covering over yourself. There's a lot of sickness going around. Mark chapter 8, verse 13, and he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Now they're in this boat, they pushed off, they're going to the other side of the sea, and they don't have enough bread in the boat. And he starts to talk to them. Jesus starts to minister to them. He tells them, he charges them, he says, take ye, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And so they're reasoning, they're trying to figure out what Jesus is talking about. Why is Jesus talking about the leaven of the Pharisees? Why is he talking about the leaven of Herod? Well, he was trying to get through to them spiritually. He was talking to them spiritually. He was talking to them about something natural, but he was talking about how if they weren't careful, the attitude and spirit of these men would corrupt them. Jesus knew it in verse 17. He saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Seriously, guys? Let's think about this here for a minute. Let's put this in 2016 thought process here for just a second. You're in a boat with Jesus. You've got the Savior of the world one-on-one. What would you talk to Jesus about? What would you want Jesus to talk to you about? What is it that you would want to discuss in your little boat ride across the pond? Not these guys. They're arguing about bread. We only brought one loaf. You should have brought a second. We're going to starve. Are you kidding me? And Jesus knows it. He says it here in verse 17. He knows it. And he says, excuse me, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? He's asking questions of them. What's wrong with you guys? Let's read on. Verse 18, he asks them another question. He starts it off asking, having eyes, see ye not? Every one of us here tonight, thank you, everyone. Anybody here missing an eye? So now it's your time to come clean. Nope, everybody's got two eyes. Having eyes, see you not? I gave you two eyes. Do you not see? Are you not using them? Having ears, the next question. Having ears, hear ye not? Everybody's got two ears. Everybody's ears work. There's nobody that's deaf in the room tonight. Jesus said, I gave you two eyes and I gave you two ears. You know what they saw? Do you remember the things that they saw in their time of earthly ministry with Jesus, in the time that he walked the faces of earth? You know what they saw? We read about it and we get excited. We read about it and we ooh and ah about it. They got to see it. Their two eyes watched it happen.
their 2 ears got to hear his words. We read his word and we pray and we wait upon him to hear from him and seek after him. But they physically got to hear his voice. You know, people say, oh, I'm just not sure whether or not I'm hearing the voice of God. There was no question. They knew what the voice of God sounded like. We'll know someday, but they got to know in their day and hour they walked the earth. They had ears to hear. And do you not remember? I gave you eyes, I gave you ears, and I gave you cognizance. I gave you a brain. I gave you a memory. I created you with all these things. These are senses. Sight, hearing, remembering, memory. Being able to recall things. Go to verse 19, please. So he asks him another question. Now remember, these are guys in a boat on a voyage arguing about not having enough bread. They didn't have any more than one loaf. They had a single loaf. And they're arguing about having bread. Jesus asked them, he starts off with, do you have eyes? Well, duh, we have eyes. Can you see? Well, duh, I can see. Do you have ears? Yes, I have ears. Duh. Can you hear me? Of course, I'm answering you. Do you remember? What was he asking that they remembered? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000. How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 12. Oh, so you do remember. Your brain is working. Verse 20. And when the 7 loaves among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?
7.
21. And he said unto them, how is it? Break it into plain English for you. How in the world, after picking up 12 baskets full from those loaves among the 5,000, and after picking 7 baskets up of those loaves among the 4,000, how is it that you're sitting in a boat in the middle of the sea arguing about having one loaf of bread to split between 13 of us? This is pretty comical. Now you understand why he asked them. Do you use those eyes that I gave you? Do you use those ears that I blessed you with? You know, these are gifts. Not everybody has the ability to see. Not everyone can see well. Some people need the assistance of glasses or contacts to see. Some people have never seen in their life. They've been born blind. They don't even know what it is to see light. Some people can see light, but it's fuzzy, and they need assistance. They have to be led by the hand. It's a gift. It's a blessing to have sight. So use it. Open your eyes. There are many people in our world who can't hear. I'm blessed with the gift of hearing. My ears work really well. I don't struggle to hear things. I hear great. I need to use it to hear the voice of God, to listen to the word of God, the things that are happening around me. All of us here tonight are perfectly functioning human beings. There's nobody here in the room tonight whose brains are malfunctioning to the point where you weren't able to, even from the youngest, to even be cognizant of what's going on here tonight. You remembered that there was church tonight. He gave you a brain. He gave you a memory. Use it. This is what he's saying to the disciples. Now, verse 22. That's okay. We'll just go back to verse 21. This seems comical to us. 12 guys sitting in a boat fighting over whether or not a loaf of bread was enough and who should have brought more bread with the man who just took five loaves and fed 5,000 and four loaves and fed 4,000, five loaves fed 4,000. It seems silly to us. Because we look at that and we say, what an incredible miracle. Yet they got to experience it firsthand. They got to see it with their own eyes. They got to feel what it was like to pick up all those fragments. You know, you think of the man who brought that sack, the little boy's lunch, the lad's lunch to Jesus that day and said, this is all we got. And can you imagine the joy in his eyes and in his spirit when he was going out and picking up the leftovers and just basket after basket of leftovers? And my goodness, they got to experience that. They were the leftover collectors. And now they're fighting over a loaf of bread. It seems so silly and so juvenile, so ignorant to us 2,000 years later. I don't think many of us are really that far off from them. How many times, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times we find ourselves in situations say, oh God, where are you at now? You've abandoned me. Oh, I have. Do you have any eyes? Have you looked around lately? Can you see anything that's happening around you? Do you have the sight of any of the circumstances that I've fixed for you? The things that you've seen with your own eyes that I have fixed lately? Can you hear anything? Did you hear what was said on Sunday in service? Did you hear what was said last Wednesday night? Did you hear anything? Do you remember what I did for you last week? Do you remember what I did for you last year? Do you remember the last time that you were in a similar situation and I worked a miracle for you? Did you forget about that? Reminded of the story of the servant of Elisha in the Old Testament. When they came out of the tent that day and he saw the armies of Israel, or the armies surrounding them, armies of the enemy surrounding them. He was struck with fear, and Elisha began to pray and said, anoint his eyes that he see what you see. Let him see the reality of what it is. Sometimes I need the Lord to do a miracle in my eyes. I need him to do spiritual LASIK on me and fix my sight, because I get focused on the one loaf of bread in the boat today. I get focused on the one loaf of bread that's in front of me right now, forgetting that just yesterday he did a great miracle out of nothing for me. How quickly I come to a place of anti-trust in him. How quickly I can start to question scenarios, and I can start to question circumstances that are surrounding me. I had a situation the last couple of days where I had peace about something, and I had made a phone call to an individual. It was a business situation, and from the outset of the conversation, after the pleasantries were over, from the outset, they began to question me in every decision that I was making. Everything. Well, are you sure? Are you this? Why that? And blah, blah, blah. And then when I hung up with them, they had the audacity to email me and say, I called someone else and I asked them, and they're a professional, and they said this and this and this and this and this and this. And I got so mad. I responded back and I said, I want the name and phone number of the professional, because I'm calling them myself. I called him. I told him who I was, and I told him where I got his information at. I said, I want you to say to me what you said to that person. Well, you know, when I was... I either trust that God's going to work things out for me. I either I either choose to see what God wants me to see in the reality that, he's in control of what it is that he's working in my life, or I can get caught up in the present and all the voices that, bring question. It's amazing to me. It's like some people have no, they have no ability in life but just to question everybody and everything. Anybody know anyone like that? Are you sure? What are you going to do? And how about this? Listen, God's in control. Stop bugging me. God's in control of this. I don't know the answer to it, but I'm going to try to see with his eyes, and I want to hear with his ears, and I want to receive what it is. I don't want to let my mind wander and think about all these possibilities that could be if, all these scenarios played out and this went wrong. I'm going to choose to remember. I'm going to choose to remember all the times that he's worked on my behalf. You see, you're the only one who has control over your mind. You choose what you think about. You choose what thoughts you allow to play out in your mind. You choose what scenarios you allow to play out in your mind. You could convince yourself of all kinds of crazy stuff in your head that isn't true. And boy, our thoughts can run wild, and boy, we can come up with some doozies. Oh my goodness, could that really happen? Oh my. Oh my goodness. No, God. Oh, you brought me out here to abandon me. You're going to kill me. Oh my goodness. As for me, I'm going to choose to remember. Think about the children of Israel. Backed up against the Red Sea. Egyptian army bearing down on them. Red Sea on one side, army on the other. After the plagues and the deliverance, the magnificent deliverance, was it even a question of whether or not he was going to provide a way of escape? It was to them. All they could think about was, you mean you brought us this 15 miles or 5 miles or whatever it was just to get killed and recaptured? Wait a minute. What about when all the frogs were jumping around? What about when the lice were, what about when the water turned to blood? And what about the flies? And what about the night the Passover lamb was slain and the what about all that? Did they forget? Oh, how often we forget. Or maybe we don't forget, we just choose not to remember. We make a decision of what we're going to think about, so we choose not to think about the positive. This isn't about the power of positive thinking. I'm just going to think and will this to a good situation. You can't. But I can let the Holy Ghost. I can bring every thought and imagination, as Paul said, under the captivity. Capture it. Capture my thoughts and imaginations. I can allow them to be captured. And then once they're captured, then I can allow, and my mind is in control of his spirit. And my mind is stayed upon Jesus, and I'm fellowshipping his spirit. I've captured everything, every thought that I can, even the ones that try to squirt out and start new thought. No, get back here. And then I can allow him to bring to my remembrance past miracles, past times that he's made a way for me. And allow him to show himself strong, show himself powerful in my life. Why don't we stand together? In the name of Jesus, Father, I want to see spiritually with my eyes. I want to hear spiritually with my ears. Father, I don't want to become spiritually blind. I don't want to become spiritually deaf. Father, Father, I don't want my mind to run rampant, but I want to be controlled by your Spirit. I bring tonight every thought and imagination under the captivity of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, increase our faith. Infuse faith into our spirits tonight in the name of Jesus. Impart faith tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, bring to my remembrance, Father, every miracle that you performed in my life. Bring to my remembrance, Father, every time you made a way for me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. If you know who you are, you hosted a group.